talk to, well, the many doctors and surgeons who are calling on the NHS bosses to ensure normal patient care is maintained if a second wave of COVID hits the UK. But it's not just the actual care, it's also the research and funding for other illnesses that have taken a hit during the last 5 months. So how big has the impact on our medical services been over, well, the first part of the year, first half of the year? Dr. Angela Obasi is Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine and joins us now. Dr. Angela, thanks for being with us once again. Morning to you.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Do you think that the research and the resources and focus on COVID has been a distraction from other essential work on things like lung health generally? I suppose it would be inevitable.
So obviously, COVID is a massive and urgent problem, but there are other health problems that predate COVID that do seem to be at risk of being neglected. And there's been a number of reports in some of our bigger journals, like The Lancet and the BMJ, talking about an apparent signal of increased risk of death or morbidity from other problems. For example, there's an article from some very senior paediatricians, president of the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, reporting a survey that they did in April, a snapshot survey of 4,000 paediatricians across the UK, asking them this very question: what's happening as a result of our response to COVID? And they suggested that there may have actually been some excess deaths amongst children from diabetes and infection and new cancer causes because of a delay in presentation with these of these symptoms. And there's another big paper in The Lancet that's just come out recently that looked at hospital admissions for acute coronary syndrome. And we know what that is. That's when people think that, you know, there's a heart attack. I think people are really familiar with that. And it suggested that there'd been a 40% reduction by the end of March in the number of presentations, admissions with this. So that makes you worry that people are not presenting, people are staying home as part of the response to COVID, and that there's likely to be some excess mortality because of that. Now, the authors do say that by the end of May, the admissions were getting back nearer to normal levels, but it does suggest that there are unintended consequences of our response.
Angela, we spoke to one of our local GPs and a surgeon yesterday about the current crisis that's affecting those who are ill from everything but COVID, and the fact that we are in danger of creating a bigger problem for all of those with other illnesses that aren't being treated. But we've never dealt with anything like this before, and I suppose it was inevitable that our attention would be focused on COVID. A big chunk of our attention would be focused on this because we just didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't get a handle on it in the early days.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, the data, I think I mentioned this the last time that I was on, you know, understanding the truth from evidence takes time, and we've been playing catch up, and that's just life. That's just normal with a new disease and a new environment, and trying to understand how our health systems can respond to this. And the priority being, really, we didn't know how bad it could get. So I think it was right to err on the side of caution in terms of minimizing the harms. But as things get back to normal, I think we do need to learn the lessons. Because this may not be the last epidemic. And so any lessons that we can learn that prevent unintended adverse outcomes is really critical. And especially for other parts of the world where say in Africa, where I do a lot of my work, the number of cases are rising in some countries in contrast to the declines that we're seeing here. So any lessons that we can pay forward to countries that have the worst ahead of them will be incredibly valuable in saving lives.
This isn't going away any time soon. So I suppose it's the skill with the know-how and the facts as well. The facts are extremely important. Otherwise, we go down the road of hearsay and anecdotal, you know, evidence. So the facts are incredibly important. COVID isn't going away anytime soon. We need to be able to manage this, and then we can look after people who have other illnesses and they feel confident that they can come forward. And as you said before, you know, from May onwards, people started to get a little bit more confident coming forward. But what would you say that's the way to deal with this now? To say, yes, we have COVID, we've not taken our eye off the ball, but we're dealing with that as well as everything else.
Yes, I think so. For me, when I think about this, I think about the different levels of intervention, the different levels that we need to take action. So there's the information that we give to individual human beings. How, you know, if you're worried about your symptoms, what do you do? And even before that, maintaining our prevention advice, being consistent, being clear about using masks, about social distancing. So that's the prevention aspect for COVID, but also making people understand that if you think you are having a heart attack, you must go to hospital. Yeah. If you think your child is having an asthma attack, they must go to hospital. Fear of COVID must not prevent people from taking reasonable and sensible action in relation to other diseases. If you have a breast lump, you know, if you have a lump in the testes, go to hospital. It's really, these are really important messages that, you know, I think we need to be giving. But then there's also how we handle these things in the health system, making sure that the health system is prepared and responsive in the right way. And the studies that I've mentioned, they're gathering data, they're providing that evidence that, you know, that you were talking about. And that's why those of us at LSTM do what we do. We believe that gathering data, asking the questions, collecting the information in as rigorous a way as possible is an investment in the future, because we learn lessons that will make us better the next time round.
And this is about build back better, isn't it? With the information that we have now that we didn't have in March and April, but we haven't got it all. We don't know it all. It might take a little while, but we know a hell of a lot more than we did, you know, 5 months ago. And building back better can only be a good thing.
Definitely. I really, really agree. But also not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, one of the pieces of work that I've been involved in recently was trying to measure the impact of COVID on the TB response in Africa. And there's some data, some modelling data to suggest that there may be 1.4 million excess deaths, 1.4 million more people would have died from TB as a result of the effect of COVID on the health system. And that's something that we really want to avoid. And so we've got to learn those lessons as well.
And just to finish with as well, and we've mentioned this before, and I think it's important to emphasise it. You go into a shop now, it's never been cleaner. You go into a pub, it's never been cleaner. A restaurant, it's never been cleaner. We as a nation have never been cleaner. We're washing our hands more, we're gelling more, we're wearing the masks. That can only be a good thing, not just for COVID, but for all the other little nasties that normally kick around at this time of the year.
I completely agree. And that study by those really senior paediatricians made the same point. It's very likely that, because you know what kids are like, they pick up infections, don't they? And it's very likely that all this additional hygiene, all the social distancing has decreased transmission of some other childhood infections. So the picture, you know, we'll know more in a year when we can look back and say, well, compared to 5 years ago, there's this many fewer cases of whatever infection that is because of our hygiene measures. And it's about gathering that information as rigorously as we can so that we can learn the lessons.
Thanks for your expertise. Really great to have you on, and you do make us feel comfortable and a little more at ease when you give us the facts, Angela. So thank you for that. Take care.
Thanks. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's Dr. Angela Obasi there from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. So there you go.
Haven't we been lucky? I know we've said it before, but yep. Like all throughout this time to have somebody round the corner, whether it's Angela or Bertie Square or any of the experts we've had on, just to make things a little bit clearer.
Yeah, really good, really good. And I invented a new word.